Welcome to the 100% Financed Podcast, home of entrepreneurs, business owners, and real estate investors everywhere. 100PF is not just an online business, it's a culture, helping you make more money while maintaining pretty credit. If you're looking for great content on credit repair, business credit, creative financing, motivation, and online business, then you found the right podcast. Listen up as Juan Pablo, the People's Mentor, presents another great podcast episode for your listening pleasure. Juan Pablo, give these beautiful people the tools they need to succeed.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is me, Juan Pablo, from 100% Finance at 100%finance.com. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this great podcast episode that we have for you today. So we actually have not just one, but two special guests. So with this podcast episode, we're going to switch it up, try something new. I know you guys miss me, but unfortunately, I will not be the interviewer in this podcast episode. We will have Lewis. You might have heard of him in a previous podcast episode, and he's one of our coaches for real estate investing. He deals with lease options, subject to the whole gambit of creative financing, how to get a deal done without the banks. And we also have one of his companions, his cohorts, one of his homies. We have Joe on the podcast as well. Topic of discussion. I know you're ready for it. A day in the life of a wholesaler. So, Lewis, I'm going to give the ball to you, sir, and welcome to the podcast, Joe.
Hey, everyone. What's up, 100% Finance team? Today I'll just be interviewing Joe, asking him a couple of questions, and seeing how he's crushing it in his market, which is – actually, I'll let him introduce himself. So, Joe, please introduce yourself. Who are you? What do you do? Where are you from? Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, good afternoon, everybody. First of all, I appreciate both you, Lewis, and Juan for having me on here, and I'll try to give you guys my best here. I know we've got a short amount of time over here, but I'll give everybody a quick introduction. My name is Joe LaBarbera. I'm in Rochester, New York. I come from a construction background. I went to school, went to college, quituated, and I knew I needed to do something a little bit more than working construction, because obviously I can tell you one thing, I wasn't making any money doing construction. And basically, I've always loved real estate. I got involved when I was 24 years old doing real estate. Got involved in another business by the time I was 28, 29 years old. Got rid of everything. Went broke by the time I was 36 years old. Had to start over again. Actually, back to mowing lawns. I went back to doing construction. And basically, I started doing wholesaling part-time, and about 5-6 years in after that, I was able to literally, I basically told my boss, don't ever call me anymore, in a nice way, and I'm a full-time real estate investor. I do wholesale deals. I probably average between 80 to 100 deals a year just myself. And it's also allowed me to be able to not just do wholesaling, but I can also, I buy, I hold, I fix, I flip. And all that was done from doing the wholesaling. Okay. So for me, wholesaling has put me in a position financially where I don't have to work. I absolutely love beyond belief what I do as far as for going after the properties and being able to bring them to fruition. But that's pretty much my story. I tell that to people because a lot of people think, okay, what's it going to take to get started and do you have to be smart and everything else? No, and it doesn't take that much. And the other reason I really needed to do this was because I didn't have an educational background and I knew I wasn't going to go anywhere. Okay.
That sounds great, Joe. And wow. 80 to 100 deals per year. I'm not that good with math, so I can't divide by 12 real quickly, but somewhere around 8 deals per month, something like that, a little bit over 8 deals per month. That's an insane amount of deals, wholesale deals per month. And for those of you who do not know what wholesaling is, head over to 100%finance.com to check it out. And just so mindful of the time, just going to jump right into the next question. You already talked about why you got started. You know, you called your boss and you told him never to call you again. But maybe if you could elaborate on that just one more time, and also how did you get started? How did you hear about wholesaling? How did you hear about real estate investing? How and why did you get started, Joe?
Well, the main reason why I got started was because I was more broke than a tree in an ice storm. Okay, I had to literally start over. I ended up moving in with a friend of mine and sleeping on his daughter's twin bed. I'll never forget walking in there, and I had to sleep in this one bed, and it had a Dora cover on it. And I'm 36 years old and going, oh, my God. And what attracted me was that I could get started with nothing. I didn't need any money to do this. And I knew that was the way to get into the real estate game. All these other people, you know, they're talking about having to get $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. I didn't have the money. I went back to mowing lawns. I was making about 12 bucks an hour at 36 years old. Okay. So when I said I was broke, it was no joke. I didn't have a job. I have what I called, was called a job. A job is just over broke. A job is just under broke. That's where I was at. So what attracted me to it was that I was able to actually go out there, get some deals, and then start focusing on comma checks. And those were checks with a comma in them. And what was great was all of a sudden I'm working, you know, 40, 50 hours a week, and then one deal would more than cover what I made in a month. And what I started doing, you know, Lewis, was be able to, you know, start chunking down, you know, start chunking all my money, be able to catch up on my bills, and then it put me in a position of strength versus weakness. Because let me tell you something, you know, that helped me out immensely. Because when you're 36 years old, you're making $12 an hour, you're not surviving. Okay. And what it also did for me was it also taught me on, you know, because over here in Rochester, I needed to learn the area. And a lot of people who are listening, one of the things that they can't figure out is, okay, what do I need to buy a property at? And it was a really great way for me to learn the numbers, learn what I got to pay, learn what I need to get the properties at. And then eventually, I knew down the road I'd be able to put myself in a position where I would be able to, you know, start cherry picking. But at the time, I didn't have anything. You know, and it allowed me to be able to do it while I was working. And, you know, when I transitioned out and I started working in construction, I was waking up between 4:15 and 4:45 in the morning. And I'd work till 3:30 in the afternoon. And as soon as 3:31 hit, I was out there and I was trying to do everything I could as far as for being able to get deals, because I knew I'd be able to do it part-time. 99% of people who get started work a job. And I knew that, you know, there were times where I'd have to sneak away from my job, or, you know, sneak around the corner, take a phone call, do whatever I had to do. But it allowed me to have that kind of flexibility where I could do things, starting off maybe doing one deal at a month. Right now, I can't fathom just doing one deal a month. My philosophy was a house a day keeps your creditor at bay. So every single day I called, I talked, I did something with somebody somewhere, someplace with a house. And that allowed me to be able to start locating deals, which for me at the time worked out great, because I didn't have to worry about having the money. I didn't even have to put the money down as a deposit. I didn't have the money to even do that. But for me, that's what really attracted me to the wholesaling part. And that way, and doing that, I helped develop my skills, develop my strength of language, my negotiating skills. And that helped me build from doing one deal every few months to now 80 to 100 deals a year, which is what I'm currently doing right now.
Awesome. And I know Joe personally, and when he says strength of language, that's a big thing. Like, his strength of language and his negotiating skills is very, very good. And one thing I want to ask you is, what made you sold on wholesaling? You said that you were sold on real estate because it gave you the chance, you know, to basically create a fortune for yourself. But what was that one instance? Like, why not rental market? Why not buy and hold? Why wholesaling specifically? And how did you hear about wholesaling? And what made you sold on it? Was there a specific event, or was there, you know? I'll let you take it away, but you catch my drift.
Oh, absolutely. What sold me on wholesaling? Number one, I had no money. Okay. And the way I looked at it was this way. If I didn't have the money to buy it, I knew there were other people who were looking, basically looking for the rentals. And obviously to have the rentals as a passive income is great. At the same time, what I figured out is that if I can make $3,000 or $4,000 on one assignment, and if I'm making $300 a month profit on one property in 1 year, that's $3,600. But let's just say I make $4,000. I'll keep the numbers easy. If I'm making $4,000, I'm getting 1 year's worth of rent without having to deal with the tenants, the toilets, and the problems. Now, I knew eventually I definitely wanted to be able to hold those properties. But for me at the time, I just didn't have the money. And I knew that real estate, so many millionaires are created through real estate. And most people think, hey, you know what? And I had to get that out of my head, that I needed the money first and then the property will come. No, find the property and then the people and the money will definitely come. So I got really great at finding great deals. And the wholesaling part, even though I didn't have the money for it, I had people coming up to me and saying, hey, Joe, if you find something, you know, I know you can't buy it, but I'm looking. I'm like, oh, you know, it was like a eureka moment. And so what I ended up doing was I ended up getting really great at locating properties. And it allowed me to start really getting, because, you know, when you focus on comma checks, those are phenomenal. And that's a check with a comma in it. And then your next goal is to take that comma, move it over to the right, and do that by developing your knowledge and honing your skills and developing the habits, the skills, and the mindset to be able to get you to that level. But for me, more than anything else, was that I was still able to work because I couldn't quit my job, but it allowed me to be able to start accumulating and start bringing in more money. And then I'll tell you what, it was kind of funny because all of a sudden I didn't care about getting my weekly check. It was almost like an insult because it didn't have a comma in it. Okay. And I didn't care about Fridays anymore. It was just one of those things where all of a sudden, you know, you knew you were going to make more money on one deal. And I knew that with no educational background, me, when it comes to computers, you're talking to Fred Flintstone. I started a computer up with a hammer. It only worked once. Okay. And yes, I do stuff on the computer, but I'm very basic on it. That's where my assistant comes in and helps me out with that. But I knew I didn't have a whole lot as far as for a future for myself. And I knew I had to get into real estate. There was a lot of people making a lot of money, And I just wanted to get a part of it. And most people start out through the wholesaling part, which, you know, for me was really, really great. Because, you know, when you're starting off with no money, where are you going to go?
Wholesaling. And I like that. So if you had no money, no credit. So wholesaling was
nothing.
Your only option. And now it seems like you're making, you know, $4,000 per deal. That's good. You know, and it's in certain parts of the country you can make more, certain parts of the country you can make less. However,
absolutely.
I want you guys on the podcast to realize that you make doing 80 to 100 deals per month. Now, Joe, when you first started, how many deals were you doing per month?
I was doing one every few months. And because obviously I was working and I was just getting my feet wet. And then as my confidence grew, I said, okay, one isn't enough. And in order for me to be able to quit my job, I knew I needed to do more than that. Okay. And what I tell people is that in school, I was great at getting 50s, which in school for 50s, you're going to fail. You're done, okay? But in real estate, if you're doing 8 to 10 deals and you only get 50%, like 50% of those deals are going to close or you get them, you're going to make money. So I knew if I was great at getting 50s, I just focused on getting starting out at one, and then I thought, okay, let me do two or three. And then I started getting to the point where I was, you know, where I'll start doing, you know, if I start getting 6 to 10, or basically my main focus was to say, okay, if I can get 10 and I close half, I can walk away from my job.
So, all right. So it seems like you went, from one deal every couple of months to about, you know, 5 to 8 deals per month. What made that transition? How did you go about doing that? Because a lot of people that's listening right now, either they're doing zero deals every couple of months, or they're only doing a couple of deals, maybe one or two, and maybe you can help them figure out what was that transition to doing those bigger volumes.
Okay, well, the main thing is what I tell everybody, and this is what I learned. Everybody thinks that we are in real estate, okay, and we're not. We are actually professional marketers. Our byproduct is real estate. Every single day, I am out there marketing. I built a marketing arsenal, okay? And what I mean by that is that, you know, between the Craigslist ads, between the, between real estate agents, bird doggers, every single day I'm handing out my business cards. I'm actually calling real estate agents. I'm actually perusing Craigslist. Every single day I am doing something, okay? And what ends up happening is, you know, when I first got started, a lot of us were driving for dollars, okay? And I had a certain amount of time that I had only to do stuff, okay? And what I realized was that when I built that arsenal, if I had every day I wouldn't get calls from every single one of those people. But I would get calls. And then when I realized, I said, holy smokes, instead of me driving out there for dollars, I'm not going to have enough time to be able to do that. I can't outwork, you know, 6 or 7 bird doggers. I can't outwork, you know, 8 or 9 real estate agents that are calling me. I could never outwork my advertising. I could never outwork Craigslist, okay? And that's when everything started to change for me. And instead of me chasing the deals, I had them calling me, which it was like a huge light bulb going off. Because no matter what, I did not want to outwork my marketing arsenal. And that's what I tell people. Stop thinking you're a real estate investor. We are professional marketers. Our byproduct is real estate. I don't care what business you're in. If nobody knows what you are selling, what you are offering, they're never going to call you. So my main thing was getting really great at marketing. I wasn't the smartest person in the world, but I just knew I had to market. Okay? And whether it be through cards, again, Craigslist, whatever types of marketing you use, just every single day. And do I get calls every day? No. Okay? But I do call on houses if I don't get a phone call every single day. Because no matter what I knew in my head was, even if you call on one house a day, which is 365 houses a year, I don't care how hard you try not to, you're going to find a deal. You just will. Okay? And it's all about the numbers.
It's a numbers game. And unfortunately, we're running out of time. We have about 10 minutes left, and we want to be respectful of everyone's time as well. I'm going to ask you 2 more questions. First question, what's a typical day for you look like? You spoke about your day before when you had a job, so just give me the difference. When you first started, and what does a typical day for you look like now?
Okay. Well, a typical day, and I'll be quick for you. I'm usually up early. My main thing is I check my emails. I start putting up ads. I put up
so
my Craigslist ads.
Early for me. 10 a.m.?
1 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't believe in waking up. No, actually, I'm usually awake between 5:30 and 6:30 in the morning. And here's what I will tell you, and this has happened to me. After a while, you get so much momentum and things just get going, get so excited. And this is honest to God truth. I've actually woken up at 4:30 in the morning and was kind of upset because it wasn't 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning yet. I'm like, oh, my God, it's only 4:30 in the morning. I have to go back to sleep because I was just so anxious to get going and get up and running. Okay, it's just one of those crazy things. And a lot of people say, you know, I need an alarm clock to wake me up. No, my dreams and goals wake me up. I'm up. I'm running. My main thing is every single day is I put up my ads, and I start the night before. I always figure out what my schedule is going to be, what I have going on. I confirm my appointments, and then I'm just out there, and I'm whether it be contacting real estate agents or attorneys for my closings, and then I figure out. I have a whiteboard in my office. And I look to see what I have going on. Like right now, I can look at my whiteboard. I have 20 assignments going on. I have 9 flips going on, and I have 8 other houses I have to follow up with. Just the other 8 that I have to follow up with today. Okay, so I can look at it at a glance. And my main thing is that every single day, besides the marketing, is that I need to know where all my properties are, because I want to be able to maintain them, and I want to be able to at least keep up on them just to make sure that everybody's on the same page as far as with the closings with the property. And then again, another thing too is I want to set up my appointments. I want to see where we're at. But follow-ups on all the other properties is key for me, 100% key. That is, you know, that is just part of my day. And then answering a ton of phone calls. A lot of times you get so much momentum, you end up feeling like an 8-slice pizza at a party for 12, which is a great position to be in. I'm not complaining about it. Believe me.
Wow. That's amazing. So you're up extra early, 5:30, sometimes 4, and you don't need an alarm clock. And I like that, because one thing that you'll learn when you're in business for yourself is – there's a difference between waking up for expenses, waking up to go to work for expenses, and waking up to go to work for your fortune, to build something for yourself. And that's the excitement that Joe talks about. And I've actually experienced it too, from going from a 9-to-5, you know, working in college, to, you know, building this business. It's very motivating, and it's very exciting. The last question I want to ask you is a two-part question. One, what's a typical wholesale deal for you look like up in Rochester, New York? I didn't even talk about your market. What market are you in? You can talk about that real quick. What market are you in? Do you, you know, wholesale outside of your market? And what's a typical wholesale deal for you look like?
I'm located in the Rochester marketplace. But I also do stuff outside of Rochester, which is also in Buffalo, Syracuse. I'm doing some stuff down in Virginia. I'm looking at some stuff down in Florida. I started locally and started building myself. Okay. Typical deals really vary. Sometimes, you know, I focus on a comma check, checks with a comma in it. I love those. Okay. Some of the deals I may make 1,000. Some deals I've made 10,000. I did a deal a week ago, where I did a $10,000 assignment fee. I actually bought the house on New Year's Eve, and I sold it on New Year's Eve, and it actually closed. Typically about 30 days, sometimes a little bit longer, really varies. People who live in bigger marketplaces, obviously the numbers are bigger. You have more commas, you have more deals, and you know, I'm in a smaller marketplace here. At the same time, your strength of language and your ability to negotiate the prices will directly correlate with your bank account. I always tell it to people. Some of the deals, you know, I may make $4,000 or $5,000, you know, which out there. I'll give you a perfect example. We just did 2 package deals where we're going to be average on both packages. I think we're making somewhere right around, I don't know, $52,000, $53,000 per 13 properties, which is probably right around $4,000, $5,000 a property. And that was for that. Typically that took probably around, we went through all of them. I'd say each package probably took around 4 or 5 hours. Typically a house, I'll go there, I'll take a look at it, I'll take pictures, I'll send out the pictures, and if I average $3,000 to $5,000 on a deal, that's fine. If I lived in New York City or LA or any other bigger cities, especially down south, the numbers would be much bigger. Those numbers would excite me. And I think about, you know, if I can do what I do here, imagine what I'd be able to do or anybody else is in a bigger city. Rochester only has 180,000 people, 750,000 people in the surrounding area. New York City's got 4 million and they're 6 hours from me. Imagine Houston or L.A. and some of these other places around the country. They all vary in the deals. But typically, if you can do 3,000 to 5,000, you're doing great. I do get some that are 10,000. I do get some that are 1,000. I've done some which are more. I'm doing one right now, which is a 4-unit, which hopefully if everything works out, it'll be somewhere around a $20,000 fee. Is that typical? No. Is it possible? Yes.
That sounds great. Doing deals on New Year's Eve. That should let you guys know that you can do deals whenever. I've heard, oh, I can't do deals in the winter. It's a bad time to sell. Listen, don't listen to none of that. If you hit the ground running and if you know what you're doing, you can get a deal sold on New Year's Eve. Now, the last question I have for you is, how do you find buyers? A lot of people listening to this podcast, they may have started. They may say, all right, let's go find sellers. But now, how do you go out about finding buyers? And the reason I'm asking you, Joe, is because you have a pretty tricky and smart way to find buyers that I don't hear many people talk about. So I'll mm-hmm. let you elaborate on that. I'll let you elaborate on that.
No problem. I've had many people ask me. A lot of people say to me, "Well, Joe, you know, I gotta find the buyers first." I go, first of all, find the deal. The buyers will find you in droves. But here's what I do know. A couple of ways to do it. Number one, let's just say you find a $150,000 house and you get it for $70,000 and you advertise it for $80,000. Your phone's gonna ring. I don't care if you go on Craigslist or whatever it is you use. One of the best ways to build it as fast as possible, you can do it all in about 20 minutes, is that you, like Craigslist, you go on where the section says for rent. And what I would do is I would pick up the phone, I'd find someone who's looking to rent the house, I'd say, hey, listen, my name is Joe LaBarbera. I'm not calling to actually rent your property. I'm actually a wholesaler. I'm finding properties that are 50 cents on the dollar. Are you looking to build your portfolio? And I keep it very natural with them. Now, some of these guys are going to be like, no, I'm all set. I don't want to buy anything. I just want to rent my place out. But some of these other people, they're going to be interested. And all I started doing was I said, listen, I'm going to find these properties anyways. These are things that I'm not going to keep. I'm going to get rid of them for a small fee. It might be $2,000, might be $1,000, might be $3,000, might be $4,000. Bottom line is, Mr. Potential Buyer there, whatever you want to call him, John Doe, whatever it is, you say, look, you're going to get this at around 60% of loan to value, 60% of what the property's worth. Are you interested in building your portfolio? And all you do is you just keep going down. And then what's going to happen is that some of these people, when you tell them, look, I'm going to find these anyways, if you're not interested, that's okay. I appreciate your time. If you are, I'd like to be able to call you. Some of these guys are like, oh, my God, yes, if you find stuff for that cheap, I'll definitely pay you. And then what will happen is you'll be able to build your buyer's list. And, like, the Craigslist here in Rochester, you'll have, like, 100-plus people. If you're in bigger cities, you're going to have hundreds and hundreds of people to go through. Some of these places are going to be management companies. Say, hey, listen, I'm a wholesaler. I know you have clients that are looking for more properties, which will also help build your business. Because obviously if it's a management company, they get a percentage, they get 10% of whatever their clients buy, and they also get a commission. Say, listen, if you've got people who are interested, I'll call you. I look for cash buyers. You got to be able to close in 30 days, and a lot of them are going to be like, absolutely, please let us know. And you'll be able to go through every single one of those as fast as possible. You'll be able to build 10, 15, 20 buyers just within a 30 to 40-minute period. It's a great, great way to find buyers. I know other people, they'll go to Section 8 housing list and they'll do the exact same thing on the Section 8 housing list. I know a gentleman who did that. He found 15 buyers in 45 minutes, just like that.
Amazing, amazing. Now, we have 3 minutes left. There is one special thing that you do with your business card. I want you to let the podcast know about that. Let the 100% Finance community know what you do with your business cards. Because when I first met Joe, he did it to me, and I was like, wow, all right. I'll let you take that away, but go ahead. what do you do with your business cards that actually get people to call you rather than throw those, you know, throw it in your wallet or throw it somewhere that's dusty or in the trash?
Okay. A lot of times, most people, when you hand people a business card, they look at it, they take a look at it, they're like, okay, looks good, whatever. They put it in their pocket, and then they take it home. It ends up somewhere for a little bit, ends up getting thrown out. I never carry a wallet. I always have a credit card in my back pocket. Whenever someone asks me for a business card, I go, look, you see this card, and you know, I'll have it in my left hand. I'll say, if you're going to throw this card away, I'm not going to give it to you. And they kind of look at me, and I say, I'm not going to give it to you because it's directly connected to my credit card. So what I do is in my right hand, I reach into my back pocket, and I pull out my credit card. I go, this business card is directly connected to this credit card. And they're like, what do you mean? I say, when you call me and I close on a house, when you refer a house to me and I close on it, I'm going to pay you between $500 and $1,000 cash for every house that I close on. So when you call me, my business card magically appears, that little black strip on the back of my credit card will magically appear on that card. So if you're going to throw that card away, I'm going to give it to somebody else who's not going to throw it away. Now, not everybody does this, but I've had people take my business card and put it with a magnet on their refrigerator, okay, and have it on there for 2 and 3 years down the road. And they have actually called me, said, hey, Joel, listen, you gave me your business card. You told me to call you if I get somebody. Did you still pay? Absolutely. What do you have? Okay. Does everybody do that? No. At the same time, I do have a greater percentage of people that keep my card for longer periods of time than they would have me just saying, here's my business card. Call me if you know anybody looking to sell a house.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And you hit the time limit. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I'd like to thank Joe again, Joe from Rochester, the incredible volume wholesaler, for coming on the podcast. And thank you. Is there any last words that you'd like to say, Joe?
No, I appreciate you guys letting me be on here. I know we went kind of fast when it's such a very limited amount of time. But, you know, I appreciate everything. Appreciate both you and Juan are doing actually to help all the wholesalers out there. And if there's anything else you ever want me to do or speak, I'll definitely be more than happy to oblige. And I want to thank you both and everybody else who's listening.
All right. Thank you. Hey, Juan, take it away with the closing so we can get out of here. And for any one of you on this podcast that's listening right now, and if you're stuck in a 9-to-5, you don't know how to get out, Joe has given you some great tips on how to start and what wholesaling is about and how you could actually create some financial security for yourself and your family. If you have any more questions, please head over to 100%finance.com and hit the subscribe button, and we will give you some valuable content. So now handing it over to Juan so he could close us out.
Yeah, that was a great tip, Joe, in regards to the business credit card, or the business card and the credit card, because I'm going to start doing that to people, too. Instead of me paying Vistaprint all this money to keep ordering more and more, meanwhile, these people are just throwing it in the trash, I'm going to be really like, what's his name, Liam Neeson? He's like, I will find you. It would be like that. It pretty much, just,
that's funny. You
know, hey, you better take care of this card, because it can equate to more money in your pocket. So unfortunately, we only had about 30 minutes for this podcast, and we appreciate Joe as well as Lewis for spending their time as well as a wealth of knowledge with our audience. And if you guys are interested in learning more, just visit 100%finance.com. We appreciate it. And as always, this is to your success. Earn passively and live passionately. Peace!